Oh, wow. It's time for Dear Science, thanks to MOTAT, Auckland's Museum of Transport and Technology.
Kia ora, MOTAT, and kia ora, Marcus. So what are we looking at today?
Yeah, so I thought start of the year, we'd still talk about some things that maybe we're going to watch out for in 2021. And I've got a few things here. First thing is to do with the climate. 2021 looks like looks set to be a pretty important year for the fight against climate change with a new US administration. Joe Biden's made it clear that he's going to restore leadership by rejoining the Paris Climate Agreement to fight global warming, which Donald Trump pulled out of he was elected in 2016. There will also be a major United Nations climate conference in the UK in November, and the countries are going to make a whole new round of pledges on how much they're going to cut in terms of greenhouse gas emissions. The EU and China have already made ambitious plans to become carbon neutral sometime in the decade after 2050. So waiting to see if the US with Biden in charge will make similar pledges.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of hope that with a new president will come a new lease on the whole climate change thing, because thus far it has not been great.
That's right. I mean, this is if he survives inauguration.
don't even suggest that.
No, I know. And actually, the 2020, because so many people have been locked down, the climate, there's already been observable changes in the climate. So there's been measurable changes in the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere. So it's actually a good sign, because it means that if we do make a concerted effort and we do change things, that, you know, the climate will respond.
Yeah, I think it also proves that people are a bit more adaptable than we gave them credit for in terms of, I mean, it has been a hard past year going through lockdown and everything, but we have managed to get through it, and it has had a sizable impact on the environment.
Absolutely.
Which is quite interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Another thing is that there's going to be, the WHO is going to start looking into identifying the source of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, I don't know if you've listen to some of the conspiracy theories about it being released as a bioweapon.
I try to avoid listening to conspiracy theories generally.
Yeah. But they're going to be sending a bunch of epidemiologists and virologists and other public health researchers to Wuhan, where this whole thing kicked off, I think. And initially, they're going to look at the meat and animals sold in the markets there. And try and figure out where this virus originated and how it originated. And so hopefully by the end of this year, we'll have a better idea and see if there's anything we can do to stop it happening again.
Mm.
Vaccines are going to be a major topic of conversation in 2021, for sure. So we've already seen some vaccines rolled out from Pfizer and the other place, I've forgotten the name now. Very soon, hopefully, there will be some other viruses also being approved. So there's phase 3 clinical trials of vaccines developed by Novavax and by Johnson & Johnson. And these will likely be much easier to distribute than the Pfizer and Moderna. That's the one, Moderna vaccines, which have to be stored at very low temperatures, which is something we talked about last year. There is also the Oxford and somebody else vaccine.
I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name off the top of my head.
Yeah, that is. I think it's been approved in the UK, and I think that's starting to get approval around the world as well.
Yeah.
So that will be a major thing. And the Johnson and Johnson vaccine is a single shot, or they're testing a single shot version of its vaccine. By contrast, the other ones require two.
Right, yeah. I think that's another point of worry, is that people will get the first shot of those two-shot vaccines and feel like they've already done it.
They've done it, yeah. So it's the follow-up is important, yeah. Just maybe skip one or two things. The open access, there's going to be a drive, and there already is a drive for open access in science and science publishing, just to make the communication of science more transparent than it is already. So there is a two-year open access project that is going to come to fruition this year, and more than 20 organizations, including the Gates Foundation and the Wellcome Trust and other places, are already starting to stipulate that scholarly papers published from the work they fund must be free to read immediately. Mm. The NIH in the US already does this. Everything has to be free, at least for a year or two after it's published. And so this is going to be sort of a sea change in how science is communicated and published, and what that means, has to be paid for by somebody, and probably what will happen is that the onus will come back to the researchers to pay to publish their own research rather than the readers having to pay to read the research.
Right, yeah. I think that's quite an interesting development, because this year in particular, it's really proven how important access to this proper science really is.
Right.
Because there's been so much misinformation spreading and everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's really important for people to be able to get access to this stuff for free. So yeah, I think that's a really cool development in
Definitely.
The science world.
And it's a trend that's been happening for a few years now, but I think this year will be an important sort of milestone. There are, in the world of stem cells, so there are guidelines that scientists around the world follow in terms of, these are ethical guidelines, in terms of how they can do stem cell research. And the International Society for Stem Cell Research is going to be updating those guidelines this year. So currently, embryo-like structures grown from stem cells in vitro can only be studied for 14 days. Beyond that time, they have to be terminated. And so researchers can't work with human embryos produced in vitro for more than 2 weeks after fertilization. And that's enshrined in law in many countries. But extending that limit, which might happen, could allow scientists to better understand why so many early pregnancies end in miscarriages, which is pretty important. Mars is going to get busy this year. The Chinese probe destined for Mars should touch down there in February. And there's a US probe that's also on its way that will touch down there this year. So there's going to be all sorts of little robots zooming around the planet. And if successful, the China probe, it could be the country's first exploration. And the only time a probe carrying an orbiter lander and a rover have touched down there, so that's it's a milestone
right,
for China.
Right. So, but by first exploration, are you saying that China hasn't had a rover on Mars before?
They haven't. No, they have not.
Right.
It's at this point, it's only been the U.S. I don't think ESA. I don't think EU have got one there yet.
Right.
But there's one from the U.S. and the one from the Arab Emirates.
Yeah.
That will be touching down around about the same time.
Mm. Yeah, so I think I remember the Emirates story from last year.
That's right. For those interested in space and astronomy, in October, there will be the long-awaited launch of the James Webb Telescope. And this is the update for Hubble. So Hubble's getting old and a little bit cranky. And the James Webb Telescope is the largest, the most powerful, and the most complex space telescope ever built. It cost nearly $9 billion, so not cheap. It's been delayed and delayed many times. It's overspent, but it's much more capable than Hubble. It will cover more wavelengths, and it will enable scientists to peer deeper back in time towards the early universe. Mm-hmm. So really able to do some more amazing things than even Hubble could do. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be something to look forward to.
A nice new expensive telescope.
A nice new expensive telescope. So lots of pretty pictures that you can put on your walls.
That sounds nice. That's a good pick-me-up throughout the year.
Yeah, desktop background.
To get nice space pictures, always look forward to
that's
that.
That's right.
Are they beginning the construction in October, or will it be done?
No, it's going to be launched in October. So they've been building this thing for years and years and years.
Mm. Wow.
This is gigantic sort of telescope, but extremely complicated and difficult to launch and make sure they got it right. Because when they launched Hubble, you may not have been around then, but I was, they made an error, and Hubble was sort of short-sighted when it was originally launched. And so they had to send astronauts there to basically fix it. But they can't do it with this one because it's going to be much further out. It's not going to be orbiting Earth. It's going to be much further out in space. And so if they don't get it right first time, it's not going to be possible to fix it.
Got
to
get it right.
Got to get it right. And the last thing is Brexit. Brexit happened, and there is now a trade deal, for better or worse. But there is a lot of uncertainty about science in the UK and in Europe, and how research funding will happen. And so that's going to be something that we'll probably talk about again this year. But that's certainly not well understood yet.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, Marcus. That's been really interesting. Lots of good stories that I hope we hear a bit more about those throughout the year as they develop. So, thank you so much. That was Dear Science. Thank you, Motat.
Mind blowing. That was Dear Science. Thanks to Motat, Auckland's Museum of Transport and Technology.